Welcome back to the Casa Connection. Yes, the audio does sound a little bit different because I had forgot my microphone, but it's great to be in your ears here in April as we are commemorating and recognizing Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month. It's a month that is extremely important to our CASA program, many other CASA programs, and many other nonprofits throughout the United States. And we hope you enjoyed this discussion here. I am Jeff Warren, and I'm here with our executive director.
I'm Tracy Heisler. Good morning. Good day.
Good day. Good day. Whenever you are listening to this podcast, Tracy, Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, you know, it means something different to everybody, yet the same goal is there. At the foundation to, again, raise awareness of what child abuse is really about, where it comes from, and really inevitably how we can start to curb it. You know, we always say, let's end child abuse, end it. I don't know if that's ever actually going to happen, but curbing it significantly can happen. And I think it does happen every now and again. And during the month of April, and since I've been working for this CASA program now well over 5 years, I really take some sort of pride and some sort of positivity that I think we are doing better as a society with regard to child abuse and child abuse awareness. And I think our CASA program is a testament to that, quite frankly. So I don't know if you had any comments about that.
No, for sure. And that is definitely something during my tenure with CASA programs, which has been since 1999 now, that has been one of my goals of making sure that people understand that child abuse isn't necessarily, you know, the creepy people or drug addicts around your corner. Child abuse can happen in any home,
right,
with children of any socioeconomic status. And there are a number of variables that contribute to child abuse. Some of them we have control over, some of them we don't. There's mental health issues. There's things like poverty and stress. There can be things like impairment from drug or alcohol use, which manifests more as neglect than abuse, but the end result is the kids still are being harmed and not getting what they need.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's isolation. Postpartum depression can contribute. There are a number of things that go into creating situations of child abuse. But there are also things that we as individuals can do to mitigate that. We all know somebody who has struggled with taking care of their kids,
absolutely,
whether it's twins like you.
Yes.
I'm sure that when they were babies, it was hard.
Yeah.
When both crying at the same time and needing diapers and food and things all at once. I had 5 kids in 9 years, and there were days that, you know, I couldn't let people in my house because it was such a mess.
Yeah.
So how do we help parents like that? We can take a dinner. We can offer to keep the kids for a few hours so that they have a breather. We can host the kids to come over, you know, and play with your kids for a few hours.
Yeah.
Be the place where they can hang out. You can have parents come over with their kids so they can have a cup of coffee and just process and talk about things. Abuse and neglect very often happens when there's so much isolation and no sense of support.
Right.
And we can do that for each other in our society.
What I think is interesting about this, the realm and world of child abuse and how unfortunate it is, you know, I'll go back to, you know, just this morning as we are recording this, you and I did a video presentation on trauma and how trauma plays a role in a continual cycle of child abuse throughout a family's generations. This generation of trauma will affect the next generation, and they are being traumatized. And then how that trauma and child abuse, it's just a vicious cycle. And at times, I look at my own family, I see you as well in your family, we have been able to, for whatever reason, whether it's that resilience gene that we know that some of us have, some of us don't have it, that we are able to help break that cycle. I know you have broken it in many ways. I have broken the trauma and well, not necessarily broken the trauma cycle, but the abuse cycle within ourselves and how we raise our families. I think it's interesting that, you know, the concept of one step at a time really does make a difference.
It does. And I think I like the word disruption of the cycle.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it takes it off of an automatic track.
Yeah.
So you were just talking about the presentation that we did recently, and it brings to mind one of the other coping strategies that we can have for families who are struggling. And that's an intervention with sports, intervention with art.
Yeah.
Intervention with meditation. Let's all do yoga at my house. It'll be funny and fun.
Absolutely. Yes.
but I think the thing that I want people listening to this to understand is that we all have a role to play in supporting kids in our neighborhood. It's not enough to shake your head and say, well, that's a damn shame, and keep going.
Right.
We have to support a society that loves our kids enough to help their parents. I've done so many trainings over the years, and my overriding message to advocates and to people in the community has been, you can read the case files for the kids that we serve and think, these are horrible people who should never be around children again.
Yeah.
And when you meet them, these are parents who often have experienced their own stuff in childhood. They're coping the best that they can. They're not bad people. They're people who don't have the capacity or the bandwidth at this point to be a good parent.
So, right.
But they love their kids.
Yes.
And their kids love them. So it's in all of our interests to support parents, if at all possible, to help them to be the kind of parents that they want to be.
Absolutely.
And that their kids need them to be.
Absolutely. And, you know, just because somebody goes through child abuse and that domestic violence, whether it's emotional or physical, doesn't mean that it needs to stay within that family necessarily. The one thing that I tend to think about a lot is, how do we break cycles? How do we get out of our own culture, in a way, our own family cultures? We only know what we know. How many times have we said that before? We only know what we know. And there are families who only know how to discipline their kids in a certain way. When does that discipline turn to child abuse? When it's not just a consequence, as we talked about during the trauma training, there are consequences for certain, you know, behaviors that children have, and you have to teach them. But with that line of child abuse and, you know, a consequence for doing something perhaps you shouldn't as a child, I tend to think about that a lot, and to know where that line is. And I think at times it can be confusing for biological parents or foster parents, whoever is the caregiver. I think that can be a very, how can I say, just frustrating aspect if you're thinking about it. It's like, where's the line of child abuse? And it, of course, like hitting a kid and smacking them across the face, that's child abuse. But from a mental standpoint too, you know, it's like, where is that line at times? Sometimes I've even questioned that myself as a parent.
And the thing that resonates in my head is, how do we open up closed family systems to get help? Because when we are doing things that we know might be disapproved of, it's a family secret.
Yeah.
We don't talk about those things. We don't air our dirty laundry in front of others. And in those closed systems, those are the ones who are at most risk, I believe, for child abuse and neglect, because it's an echo chamber. There's no outside perspective, which for those of you listening, you may or may not know, but our CASA program received a grant to create a video series, an online video series on YouTube, of different trainings on a number of different topics that Jeff has been really great at producing.
Thanks. We're getting there.
That is... part of the goal for that video series is to get new information into the hands of people in a way that doesn't feel threatening.
Mm-hmm.
It's a video that you're watching. You don't have to worry about transportation or childcare. but hopefully it will give you some new perspectives on how to disrupt, how to break generational curses, how to be a better caregiver, which we know that you want to be,
right,
for your kids.
Do you think people have too much pride sometimes in terms of where their parenting is, perhaps, you know, and they either have too much pride in saying, well, this is how I was, but we hear this all the time, the phrase, well, this is how I was born and raised. And I really keep that in mind, because I remember my mother saying that all the time, and I remember thinking to myself, doesn't really make it right, though. You know, do you think people have a little too much pride? Like, what does it take to get outside of that box?
I think it's, there's some pride, but I think more of it is also fear of being judged.
Fear is a big component.
It's a big motivator. And if you already have a low self-esteem, the fear of somebody else coming in and telling you how much you suck at this is enough to keep you insulated.
Absolutely. I guess as we conclude this short podcast here, we try to keep them short for you folks. As we conclude, you know,
we know you're busy.
Exactly. But we want to get some good information out there to you and just have a conversation. And we want to educate our communities more. But again, as we're closing things out here, Tracy, you know, what information can you give folks to say, okay, from a resource perspective, this is where you can go. This is what you should do. You know, if you want to really try to help curb child abuse here in April, Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, and even throughout the year, where can they go? What can they do, do you think?
I think that they can look at their neighbors.
Mm.
Look at where the kids are in your neighborhood. Is there a family that is struggling?
Yeah.
Take a dinner, lend a hand, and if the response is not positive, then okay.
Right.
But the worst thing that you did was help a neighbor support a friend.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's also important, too, as a resource, you know, if you do know anybody that is suffering from domestic violence, there is a national domestic violence hotline, and that phone number is 1-800-799-SAFE, which is 7233. So again, 1-800-799-7233. It's important.
It is. And the other thing that I would add to that before we close is just the recognition that sometimes we do have to report child abuse.
Yes.
If you know that something has happened, it's not necessarily that the kids are going to be taken away or put into foster care or anything like that. But sometimes families need help, even if they either don't know it or are too afraid to seek it. But you have to feel okay with recognizing that sometimes kids need a voice of an adult, and you could be that guy.
All right, that's going to do it for us here on this CASA Connection podcast. Please feel free to share our content on whatever podcast platform you are listening to us on. Share it with your family, your friends, your coworkers. We are here to help educate our community and educate you and just have a discussion about so many prevalent issues within the world of foster care. And feel free to reach out to Tracy at all. She is a plethora of knowledge, and it has so much information at her fingertips where she can really pass it along. And Tracy, you're always very willing to give out information
all the time
to folks. So reach out to us, info@casashaw.org, and go to our website, casashaw.org, and check out our resources there. And we hope you have a great rest of your day, afternoon, evening, whenever you are listening to this podcast. Take care, folks, and we will see you on the next one.
And don't forget to hug a kid in a safe and appropriate way today, because they need those positive adult connections.